Hi, I'm John.
Hi, I'm Olivia.
And I'm Rebecca.
And this week we've watched Little Green Men, and now we're going to argue about whether it's going to make us quit Star Trek.
Okay, behind the scenes, we have had yet another vicious fallout between the hosts. Because I believe that this episode is trademark high art. It is perfection, almost 99%. And I don't know why it's getting this slander, this derogatory treatment.
We had to watch Nog get wagged off.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's one tiny little problem.
Odin Clover looks more like a dog.
Yeah.
Like, Odo being a dog. Mm.
French nobleman René Auberjonois getting an all fours and turning into a dog is like one of the best shots in cinema. It's a brave moment.
It was
incredible scenes. And I do have a question about Odin the dog. I don't know if I should leave it for later.
You have to now.
I mean, I just don't understand when Odo turns into the dog. After he's had his little secret discussion, he turns back into the dog. So that I thought he was like hiding there as like a pen or something. That means there was a dog there. What did he do to the real dog? Did he kill a dog? Is the question.
Why did you immediately go to did he kill a dog? They could have just thought he was a stray. There wasn't a real dog, Olivia.
How comes he turns back into the dog? That means
because he can just shapeshift. He's not a chameleon.
Olivia's saying there has to have been a dog there in order for that like cover to work in the first place.
But they like found. But maybe they just thought they found the dog by the crash shuttle and brought it with them.
Why would they be so casual? These people are so paranoid, John.
People in the 40s are stupid.
To be fair, like in America, like there are dogs like. At a lot of government bases because they use like them for pest control and like drug sniffing. So like there are dogs around. So I do think Odo killed the dog.
He didn't have to kill a dog.
It was actually it was a deleted scene from this episode. Is Odo
throttling a dog?
Real facts.
He tries to snap his neck. It doesn't work. It's like a scuffle. He has to bash his head in with a rock. It's really bad.
This, you know, I know I opened by saying this is a great episode, but that there was that one small blip or two small blips, and that's fine. I think we should overlook that. Are you perfect? Cast the first stone. Okay, proceed.
If I was a writer, I would simply not make Ferengi masturbation a running gag.
Well, you know, that's because you're a coward, but you know.
All right.
Exactly. That was unanimous. That was unanimous.
Probably if I'm being attacked by this, I guess. It's only we've only been on for like 3 minutes. This is a record.
That's what you get for saying that I was the idiot for thinking his name was Blobo Baggins.
Bimbo.
No, Bimbo. Sorry, Bimbo Baggins.
Whomst.
Did you miss? Oh, you were at work today.
So on Twitter earlier today, I have never seen a red Lord of the Rings, so I thought the main character's name was Bimbo Baggins. And I've thought this for years.
They should change the name.
Well, because in like for Italian Americans, Bimbo is like used as like junior. So it's like if your dad is like Michael and then your name is also Michael, they'll call you Bimbo. So I thought that like Bimbo was like a nickname.
It makes sense.
You learn something every day on this podcast.
Every day
I wake up and this podcast makes me learn things. I can't find a segue. You know, usually when I segue into the guests, I can't. I'm too stuck on Bimbo Baggins. So Rebecca, how'd you get into Star Trek?
Well, I'm a second generation Trekkie. My parents were Trekkies. And my mother hates like all media made for children. She finds repetitive noise really annoying. So instead of watching like SpongeBob, she made us watch the animated series, which is why all of her children turned out gay.
Good Lord.
Oh my God. That's such an incredible choice. Like, I don't want them to watch anything nasty. So we'll just generate a series. You know, nothing will happen badly to children with 25-foot tall Spock and the devil.
Yeah. There's like nothing in there not suitable for children.
Not even, you know, Harry Mudd's sex truck.
Oh yeah, no.
Absolutely. No. That's PG friendly.
I mean, as we see when it affects best friends, they just become my good dear friend Spock. Like that is just
teaches you how to make dear friends.
Dear friends. So like I've watched Star Trek since I was like old enough to remember. And sadly that is incurable. It's just been a plight on my life ever since. So
this is such God a sad it. Story. I think everyone, as we're listening, should take a moment just to, you know, think about that. Star Trek all your life.
All my life.
Couldn't be yes. me. Could not be me.
Could never be me.
Could never be me. So when you were, you know, being shown all what 16, 18 episodes of the animated series on repeat, ad infinitum, was there a quitting moment then?
Oh, I feel like my quitting moment didn't come until I was like in high school when the movies came out, the J.J. Abrams movies came out, because I had, oh, poor J. So like, I feel like that was the moment where I hadn't seen the original series in like a while and it wasn't on Netflix in America yet. So like, there was no way for us to watch it. So I was like, oh, maybe like Star Trek is kind of bad. Like I was like, am I not remembering this correctly? I was like, maybe it's bad. So then like, I didn't watch it for a couple of years and then it came on Netflix. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll give it another shot. So I watched TNG and I was like, Star Trek is bad. And then I watched Deep Space Nine again. And I was like, oh, never mind. Star Trek's amazing.
No, the trick is that Star Trek's bad, but that's a good thing.
Yes.
This is where we find
it. Correct.
This is where we are in the year of Paramount not being able to do anything properly. Star Trek is bad, and that's why we love it.
Exactly.
Wouldn't want it any other way. Except maybe with actual advertisement and no NFTs, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's asking too much. I mean, we don't even have the shows, so you can ask for that.
Yes, you know, for the next you know, for the next 2 months from me and Olivia legally live in London, Ontario.
Very true.
Absolutely. I we're Canadians now. Yes. But yeah, I mean, at least we can watch this on Netflix for now.
Exactly.
And
yeah, I mean, I now own the DVDs, so it's like, they can't take that away from me. I will not pay. They will make me pay for Paramount Plus, like, out of my cold, dead hands. I'm never going to do it.
I have digital versions of all Star Trek series burned onto a hard drive now, just for emergencies. I'm tempted to get them printed onto film, just to be safe.
And I'm too lazy to have any sort of other provisions. So, and I also refuse to have physical media because it's not 1991.
I will email you a flash. I will post you a flash drive like it's Jason fucking Bourne.
Yeah, I need the flash drive. I need the G drives. I mean, nothing. No, I would never promote.
You'd never pirate Star Trek unless you gave us no other choice.
Sure.
We know you're listening, John Bonsitters. We know you're listening.
We J-Dan, know you've listened. Save us.
Please save us, and we'll be forced to do terrible, unspeakable things in Put Locker. And you don't want that. I don't want it. You don't want it. You know, I don't want viruses. You don't want to lose out on profits. So do something.
Profits, which brings us back to the Ferengi.
Brings us quite neatly to Rom selling all of his stuff before going to Starfleet Academy. And you see, this is why I hate the Ferengi, because I'm a kleptomaniac of a sort. I can literally not sell anything I've got ever. If somebody said before you have to go to college, you have to sell all your stuff, I'd join the Navy instead.
Well, what about the stuff that you've stolen from other people? You'd sell
That's
that,
different.
Right?
That's different.
Yeah, so it's fine. You do fine in that situation.
Yeah.
Which Nog does quite happily. He tries to sell
90%. Yeah, 90% stolen. It's all good.
This is a very deified scene because it's like, yeah, Sisko's bullied Worf to coming. Dax buys Bashir some porn.
I don't even remember that happening.
Yeah, it's like, oh, what's this holo program? Oh, it's, you know, sexy girl from Rick's Three. And so Dax is like, Bashir will take it. She buys a porn.
A good friend.
And like, it's so casual. Like, you think there's going to be, like, a backstory, like, oh, maybe Jadzia has, like, a B plot this episode. Like, oh, she just came into some Latinum or something. No, she's just getting Bashir this porn.
She's a sex-positive queen for that. We should commend her.
I mean, how can we really commend somebody who sees Worf as attractive?
It's her one flaw, okay? You know what's going on? No one's being forgiven in this Zoom call right now. You won't forgive the episode. You won't forgive Jadzia. What is the atmosphere that we're putting out into the world?
I haven't slept properly in a week, okay?
What would Jesus do?
What would Jesus do? He'd probably not buy his friends porn.
That, no.
Okay, he was friends with prostitutes, but I still think he'd be opposed to the commercial enterprise of selling pornography.
Right.
It's like that's 3 decades missing in that book. We don't know.
We don't know what Jesus got up to in his 20s, and it's best that we don't ask.
Jesus, it's the Carrie Diaries reboot of the Bible. We'll go into his 20s years.
Anyway, we're getting distracted.
It's Holy Week.
It's Holy Week. We're talking Jesus. So Quark apparently got a shuttle with Cousin Gala, who was an arms dealer. You know. Not good for Cousin Gala. Fuck Cousin Gala. But apparently Quark got a shuttle off of him, so that's nice. And he's decided he's going to take Rom and Nog to Earth and do something illegal on the way. And is it really a family road trip if somebody's not doing something illegal?
No. I was going to say, this is the quintessential family road trip Star Trek episode.
Yeah. You know, I feel like what they should have gone with here is just done where the Millers in space.
That is exactly how I see it.
Yeah. That's an incredible film. But
a wholesome film.
A wholesome family-friendly film of families having fun together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We skipped Racist Worf, though. I think we should always acknowledge Racist Worf.
What did we say this time?
There shouldn't be any Ferengi in the Academy. You shouldn't even be on DS9. Go away.
You're only here because the producers didn't trust that the show would get good.
That is such a weird, little thrown in there. And then O'Brien was like, well, not too long ago, people would have said the same about you. I was like, when did we go to a PBS after-school special starring Miles O'Brien?
I'm sorry. I mean, it's like, since when have Star Trek been like this? And then you remember, you know, the somehow iconic line, leave your bigotry in your quarters. And you're like, oh, no, it's always been this heavy-handed nonsense.
Yeah. I was like, I love it. They were like, we're just going to throw that in there.
No, I really hope Strange New Worlds brings back moral messages they have to beat you over the head with. Captain Pike staring straight down the camera going, don't buy oil shares.
He says, do not frack.
Do not frack. I know you're watching, RuPaul. Sell the fracking shares.
Truly brilliant, truly brilliant.
The entire episode produced a shame RuPaul. I'd do it. If I was a writer, I'd do it. He knows what he's done.
True.
Anyway, so Worf is being left in charge.
I said let John write Star Trek.
Okay. So Worf's being left in charge of the bar, which, fun. And then Jake and Nog have a sweet moment complaining. Talking about, you know, where they used to stalk girls from.
In their terrible outfits.
Yeah, the I'm not sure the outfits are better yet. The outfits get better towards like season 5 or 6.
Oh, yeah. They're better. You just forget how bad they were. Do you remember the Luminous Green jumpsuit, John? Would you put that on for even a single second, even as a joke? It was so bad. It wasn't even fun.
It's pretty heinous. Like, early Jake outfits are just, I can't imagine somebody making like an actual child wear that.
To be fair, you will look, so have you never looked at photos of yourself before like age 7 before you start like dressing yourself properly? And
I was iconic.
What the fuck?
No, let's just get this on record. I was iconic from day one. Some of the outfits, fire. Some of the poses, fire. Let's bring it back.
You see, I feel like my parents tried and then failed when they realized that I would jump into every single puddle I saw. And you know, I'm a professional clothes wrecker. So I don't think my parents ever made me look iconic. They just wanted clothes that could be like put in a tumble dryer and heat wash so I didn't get typhoid.
It was my natural energy, okay? That yellow jumpsuit, fashion.
Would you have worn the green for us a jumpsuit, Olivia? Would you have worn that to your first day of secondary school?
I mean, there wouldn't be a second day of secondary school. Maybe that's a win.
That means you're not as stylish as Jake. He did it all the way through.
I would never do that to you, Jake, okay?
I mean, just the idea of having to, because like they were one pieces all the way down, like having to take that off to pee like every single day. No,
well, we sort of know that like Star Trek jumpsuits have like, there's a weird thing Gene talks about, where it's like, oh yeah, everything has a secret zip. You just have to kind of draw a line.
Ew.
It's how I think, it's like if you watch like, if you watch Voyager and DS9, the jumpsuits, the uniform jumpsuits seem to be able to like open into jackets or become jumpsuits. On, like,
yeah, I know exactly where you put those zips, Gene. Fucking freak.
Yeah, but...
I don't trust this guy. I know exactly what was going down and I'm not...
see, there can be zips everywhere. Everywhere? Everywhere. Gene, get back in the cold shower. Like, the writer's room... Where would Gene want to be was? They had to make sure the writer's room was within, like, 3 paces of a cold shower so they could just push him in it.
They just had like one of those emergency showers in like chemistry laboratories.
They just had the sprinklers.
That's what HR was in the 60s.
Cold showers and a slap. Like, what do you, oh, it's my job to slap Gene Roddenberry when he gets too horny. How often does that frequently?
Creating more heathenry, of course.
I got fired. Why? You started to enjoy it.
God.
Anyway, so. They're on their way, and then it turns out that Rom's cousin has decided to kill him, which appears to be a regular occurrence. So Rom, the only smart person in the room, finds a solution, which apparently involves sending them to the 1940s.
Yeah, the science is like very, you know, Star Trek.
It's a hand wave, it's, as it should be.
Yeah. And I was at the fact that you just said Rom was the only smart one in the room, because I will... stand in solidarity with my man Nog. Nog is the best Star Trek character ever made.
So why have you brought us this to diss it? If you love, this is a great Nog episode.
Is it? He gets wiped off on screen.
Okay, you know what?
That's the one. Some...
You know, I get the title of the episode, but I'm just gonna call it that.
Okay, you just don't understand cinema. It's very French. It's very European. That defends everything.
No, I love that. I hate this episode despite everything that's in it.
Wow.
Like, I feel like I'm at a point in my life where I have to decide whether or not I enjoy this episode. And it's like, every time I watch it, you know that sound like an unbalanced fan makes when it's going too fast? That's just like the sound that's going on in my head whenever I watch it. It's just like, dang, like I can't even process it. Like,
I am hearing Mozart symphonies when I watch this, okay?
I'm just ashamed that we didn't get more 40s vibing, because we, you know, we got the stars chomping, we got, you know, swooning lovers. You know, I wanted big band music, you know, hats, segregation. I wanted to see it all.
The main hits, the top hits.
Oh, the big hits reporting, segregation, the Cold War. I don't know. The Korean, but that's just later.
I must say I'm very team Rom, because we get a nice moment where Rom's like having his smart moment. And he's like, when did you get so smart? And he's like, I've always been smart. I just lack confidence. Okay, King. I believe in you, and I want you to be the best you can be.
Rom is the man who saved the Alpha Quadrant, don't forget that.
King, yeah, icon.
And a dilf. Like, I'll go ahead and say it.
No.
I'll go ahead and say it.
You know what? I have tried to be optimistic today, but I'm now destroyed. It only took one thing, and that was it. Cancel the episode.
I don't know how I feel about... that sentence being uttered on this podcast.
Rom is a dude.
I don't know how you can put people like I'm not a Pike fucker. But if I was a Pike fucker, that's the definition of a DILF. So how can you put them in the same...
Oh, see, I was going to say, I think that being a good father is more important for being a DILF than being hot. And mom is one of the best fathers. Second, I mean, maybe to Sisko. I think definitely to Sisko. Sisko's the best Star Trek father.
Sisko's a good dad, but he's not a DILF.
I would argue otherwise.
Is Worf a DILF or is he too much of a deadbeat dad?
Wait, who is?
Worf's too much of a... But he's a deadbeat dad, so is he a DILF?
Worf isn't hot.
No,
Worf's not hot.
Michael Dorn is hot. No, he was hot. Okay, it sounds bad to say he was hot in Far Beyond the Stars. It's not my fault. That's the first time I've seen his face. Okay.
That says a lot about Michael Dorn's career, doesn't it?
What was I even going to say?
Okay, you know, we should really do a DILF rating episode on this podcast. We need to diversify content. I think we should do like a DILF ranking episode.
I'm just like imagining a hot calendar where it's like Anson, well, Pike, and then Rom.
like Pike, Sisko, I don't know.
They're all dressed.
Would Trip Tucker count as a dad? Is Trip Tucker a DILF?
I'm gonna say he's a DILF by
He's technically had two kids. He's telling he's had two kids at a club. What?
Olivia goes,
you'll have to hear it back when you listen to the episode. I'm just saying, like, if he needs help, I'm doing a public service. Okay, fine.
You can't just
I
okay.
Anyway.
Does Kirk count as a DILF?
Yeah, but he's like, I wouldn't say he's a great dad.
Well, it depends on whether he doesn't qualify as a deadbeat dad either, because he didn't know he had a kid.
Well,
until the kid was an adult and hated him. Yeah. He finds out he has a son, and then 3 months later, his son is killed by the professor from Back to the Future.
I don't really remember this whole
Star Trek 3 is both a very good film and a terrible film at the same time. Speaking of such content, if we go back to the 40s, it turns out that they're being monitored by a moustache-chomping general, who is the... Fun fact, Livia, that's the hippie from The Way to Eden.
No, because yeah. I was rudely and brutally informed of this by Dom, like, minutes before the record. And I would just like to put it out here that Dom is cancelled, because that ruined my... Like, I was saying, oh, this is a great episode, I love this, and then he had to crush my spirit.
Yeah, but... What reason? But Charles Napier's good. The songs he sings, we're going to have to do The Way to Eden, because I think The Way to Eden is good, actually.
Whoever brings that episode to me, like, when I see you, it's on site, I'm actually going to fight you. I hate that episode so much, and, like, I should love that episode, but all I remember...
You know what you are, Olivia? You know what you are? You're a Herbert. That's what you are. You're a goddamn Herbert.
I quit the podcast. I quit the podcast.
It's finally happened.
Oh, God. Division.
This happens every week. It's fine. So, turns out that these are psychic heritage. So, we get to hear the Ferengi language, which is fun for people, I guess, who are cool at languages, as opposed to me, who barely speaks English. And Quark gets angry about not having a ship, and they think he's trying to escape, and it's very funny because Quark is just a dick. And it's very exciting to learn that these people's lives were saved by Harry Truman.
A little Truman reference for you Truman stands out there.
There's at least five of them.
There's
at least five Truman stands out there. Some of them must listen to this podcast.
Oh, despite being an American, I know little to nothing about Harry Truman.
He dropped the bomb, authorized invasion of Korea, fired Douglas MacArthur, played the piano. What else? Oh, he was meant to lose the 1948 election, so the New York Times printed a headline that says, Dewey beats Truman, and then he won. So there's a famous picture of him holding up a headline that says he lost the election. And it's got to be the most, like, fuck you moment. It's one of those things that he doesn't look so like, look at a little of this. Look it up, it's good fun. Anyway, yeah. Harry Truman. Certainly a man who was president. and was mean to Douglas MacArthur. So apparently Quark's first inclusion is, I'm dead. And being dead means that you're stuck in an Air Force base in the 40s. Which sounds like purgatory to me. Sort of well-dressed purgatory.
I wasn't aware that the Ferengi had such a developed religion around money. Was that a thing that everyone knew before this? He's like, is this the divine treasury or something? Was that a joke?
No. Yeah, it's been like mentioned, like the divine treasury is like a punchline they throw in there sometimes. That's like their heaven, you know?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I like it. I like the idea that like for Ferengi, like an afterlife is just like a Walmart that they're the manager of. Like, I think that's really
I thought you were going to say like a Scrooge McDuck. But the idea that paradise for them is not even Scrooge McDuck money bathing, but just being manager of a Walmart. It makes it even more pathetic. It's not like they wanted life. They just get to be the big fish of their tiny pot.
Exactly. That is pathetic. The Ferengi dream.
At first I was like, is this lazy world building? But then actually, I now just prefer that the Ferengi are just deeply pathetic. Some cultures are deeply pathetic. You know, the English, culturally deeply pathetic. I'm sorry, guys, you know. We built half our culture on punching down. There's nothing more pathetic than that.
I do not claim them.
England never heard of her.
I know that there's like translators, but I thought when they have all this language confusion, I thought that Quark might know a bit of English, you know, just a bit. He's been at the bar for years.
Well, he wouldn't have had to pick up English because he had a universal translator.
Okay, and this is why technology is ruining lives, okay? This is why we shouldn't have phones, we shouldn't have computers. We need to go back to the good old days, because that's what's going to happen.
I do think there's something interesting about the idea that the universal translators in the Ferengi are in their ears. Mm. Whereas in TOS, it's quite clearly in like either communicators or tricorders. And then in TNG, the universal translators are in the comm badges.
They just wanted to stick something in there.
Yeah, I feel like the only conclusion is that the Ferengi just like sticking things in themselves, which are...
good for them.
No wonder Gene invented it. It's like, they are Gene's vision from start to finish.
Hey, toe to tip, yeah. I mean, I can't imagine like what, like the actual process of putting that universal translator in there, like... as a Ferengi whose ears are apparently quite sensitive.
I guess it's like getting a hearing aid.
Oh, yeah, I guess exactly. That's a good point.
But they're not one of the like behind ear ones, like one of this.
Cochlear, yeah.
Yeah, or a dodgy ear operation. But Quark seems, Nog seems fine with having it poking around his ear.
True.
There is a fun bit where they're all trying to bang their heads and Quark realizes that humans are very stupid. Which, most accurate observation of the episode. That and the heavy-handed tobacco sucks stuff, which is actually quite funny.
Well, I was just saying that we should be thanking the Ferengi for giving us a public service announcement. Once again, they are showing us that they, you know, have value.
Yeah, but at first Quark's like, if they'll smoke poison, what else could they buy? Quark had no.
Okay.
You might have tried Valium pills.
I'm not looking at Quark, okay? I'm looking at my besties, Rom and Nog, who've never done anything wrong ever.
Except solicit sex.
One time.
A couple of times.
Do you guys have, there's a program in the States called DEO, which is like a anti-smoking, anti-doing drug thing that like you get in elementary school. And this episode, I distinctly remember my parents showing it to me after the first time that we had a DEO lesson in elementary school. But they're like, see, even Quark doesn't smoke.
I can't remember. I mean, we both went to Catholic schools, and Catholic schools' ideas of, you know, that kind of stuff is to get a priest to yell at you.
I don't remember being told not to smoke. There's a lot of things that I don't remember not being told, like being told not to do. I think in England, they just don't mention it and hope you don't figure out it exists.
Fair enough.
Yeah, which explains why people start drinking slowly.
Yeah. It's going really well for us.
Anyway. It's all going very well for England. So eventually they get the universal translator going, and Quark does this business pitch of, I'm going to give you all this secret modern technology, which my immediate thought is, Quark, you don't know how a toaster works. How are you gonna figure out to sell these people warp drives and phasers?
How is he planning to get the stock is the real... I mean, I guess he was going to figure it out, but I don't know. Does he, know, all the, scientific ways? I don't know how electricity works, and I'm here now. How is he going to figure out all these things? Does he know how everything works, and he's going to bring this technology to the future?
Okay. I guess Vom does, right? So, maybe he would just have Vom tell them.
I don't know.
I mean, I guess...
He does have Rom.
Rom doesn't seem very keen on it.
Yeah, and Rom to me always seems like the kind of guy who can fix something with duct tape. He's not particularly, he doesn't know how everything works, but he knows how to fix everything. That's the vibe I get from Rom.
He's a car mechanic.
Yeah, he's a car mechanic.
Not a very good one.
Yes, and Quark is a car salesman. And not a very good one.
Yeah, the general being you fucking suck.
Rom is an F1 engineer. He creates art. He creates masterpieces.
You know what? Anyway. I changed my answer. I agree with Olivia. Rom is actually king.
Doing his best.
He's doing his best. He could have been the chief engineer of a starship if he had only had the opportunity.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And meanwhile, the 40s humans are arguing about getting other linguists, which is...
And whether Quark will go to the Russians. And, there's something funny about the idea of Quark haggling with Stalin.
Oh, God.
Put that together.
Wait, yeah, this is just
This is so important. How would Quark taking over Earth affect Shostakovich's music? Let's all really get into it now. This is important.
We're not doing this. Instead, I ask the audience to play Armin Schirmer's Quark versus Cockney Stalin from The Death of Stalin.
Whatever.
That's a better image.
Editing yours out. No.
Do not diss Cockney Stalin. It was funny. Yanni Iannucci got nothing wrong in that film.
That was all accurate.
Oh. Yeah, and then so they're doing the medical tests, and Nog's like, "Oh yeah, no women on our planet wear clothes. It's the law." And they have this very 1950s reaction.
How do they get into that conversation? Who brought that up?
Ira Stephen Bird. That's who.
Yeah, he always has to put that in there. He's like, just in case you forgot, all Ferengi women are always naked, and I will mention it in every single Ferengi-centric episode.
Well, why don't we ever see it, coward?
We do.
We do, coward!
Because
I'm Googling naked Ferengi women right now, and it's going to be in my search history, so you better.
Olivia, it's not worth it.
Naked Ferengi is being Googled right now, and I'm not kidding.
I think that's going to get put on a watch list.
I pity the person at GCHQ who's reading that.
I just see a slightly topless, what's her name?
Ishka? Yeah, that's Quark and Rom's mother. She's very rebellious because she wears clothes, but when Rom is around, she'll be naked.
No, we're not looking at that. Get rid of Prophet and Lace.
It's what came up in the Google search.
No, we're not talking about the bimbofication of Quark.
Not the bimbofication.
We're not talking about it again. The less said about it, the better.
Fine, let's talk about the greatest quote of all time, which is, what do they say? Baseball, root beer, darts, and atom bombs. That's what Earth is about. Accurate. God bless.
Got it in one.
Earth.
That's what we're about.
Yeah, actually, you know what? The more we talk about it, the more I realize that this is actually the best episode of any television series.
Finally. Thank you. I am ascending. This is my good deed of the day, of the week, of the month. This is,
you see, enlightening. Olivia, don't think too highly of yourself. This is like, you know, even I think
No. This is real work that has been done today, and I will appreciate this.
Yeah. Thank you. Because I'm thinking about the quote.
The earth is a better place.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I'm thinking about the Odo quote also, where he's like, I knew that you weren't just doing something nice for your nephew, which is possibly the hardest I've laughed all week, is Odo being like, you have to be committing a crime because he would never be nice to Nog.
It's physically impossible to be nice.
I will admit, Odo's sudden appearance, which I had forgotten, almost made me quit instantly.
It was insane.
That
was
insane.
There was no foreshadowing. You were the even, owner.
Why? Even if he wasn't a dog, I would have still just been upset. But, you know.
Why did they have the dog paws on Quark's shoulders like that? So they had to edit it. Like, it's awful.
I thought they were going to, like, have the camera pan up and then Odo appear, but no. He climbed on his shoulders.
This is real cinema, John. They're not real lazy. Cinema. I want to refer the listener back to my first question. Did Odo kill the dog? The answer is yes.
No, what?
100%. We all agree. We all agree.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No. And, like, no dog would ever let their likeness be used in that way. So obviously Odo killed the dog.
Do we think Odo killed the dog humanely? Or do we think he just bashed his head into the skull? He just bashed his skull into the rock.
I don't think it was an Old Yeller situation. I think it was absolutely brutal.
Here's what happened. Odo started murdering that dog, and he was having flashbacks of his time with the fascists. He was having a great time. Anyway.
Quickly moving on.
Did Odo eat
the dog?
Ew.
No, he doesn't eat.
But it would be the only way to get rid of the body then.
What? He has to eat them? What?
How does he get rid of the body?
That's what we're going to see. We're going to find some dog abandoned somewhere. It's probably in the deleted scenes.
It's just a dead dog. We just, you know, when they're riding around in the Jeep, it just goes off the dead dog and everyone looks at Odo.
Oh, no. He's like, well, did I do that? Like, it was...
Play Kiwa funny music.
Oh, what a little menace.
God. So, once Quark has decided he's just going to screw with the timeline, the Air Force guys decide, Angie, we're just going to inject him with TruSeal. Which doesn't seem to work, so they decide, why don't we cut Quark open? So then everybody starts screaming and, you know, Rhonda's tells the truth and Nog starts spinning a story about an alien invasion, which the military guy buys until Nog's like, you know, we're going to invade Cleveland.
I need that explained to me in UK terms.
Cleveland's shit.
Oh, yeah, Cleveland is garbage. It's in the worst state, Ohio, and it is like... Basically, if you think of like a really shitty city that is like just all urban sprawl, it has like, it's like, it was an old steel town that got shut down when Reagan was president.
Is this Croydon?
No, Croydon's in London. It's too close to somewhere, so it's too close to civilization.
It's too close to something good. Okay.
It's Scunthorpe or what's it called? Rotherham. It's Rotherham. The aliens are invading Rotherham.
Excellent.
You guys are just making up places in the UK now. Like, these aren't real.
Those aren't even the worst sounding. Those are normal.
I have driven through a town called Pratt's Bottom. That's
normal. Come on.
Jail for that existing and jail for you being there.
Don't forget the town of fucking in Austria.
That one gets a pass.
They knew what they were doing.
Yeah, so Cleveland is a hellscape, and it's awful. And if anyone currently listening is in Cleveland, I offer my sincerest apologies.
And invite me over because it sounds funny. It's authentic.
So the dog tries to take his gun.
Which, by the way, does Nog know what a gun does? I guess he does because he knows about Earth history. But like the idea of Nog having like any sort of like Nog with a Glock is very funny to me.
It's like, where's the stun set?
He's like, I'm a healer, but
shoots more by accident, bounces on more skull.
I believe the series would have only been like 4 seasons long if Nog had had a gun, because he would have just killed the Dominion.
Saved so many lives, and they wouldn't give him an AK-47. This is why we're pro-gun on this podcast.
Are we?
No.
Are we?
I would just like to apologize for my previous comment, which I retract.
Immediately.
We've got lawyers, we've got a producer at the mic screaming at us.
Oh my god.
I never said that, and you have no proof.
The scientist busts him out, which is weird flex, but okay. Mm. And Odo knocks out the general, which, sure.
Resulting in one of the most romantic scenes in all of cinema, where the professor asks, who is that? And Quark says, my hero.
It was better than Casablanca. It was everything. And you know, I say that not really having seen Casablanca. I've only seen that one scene. Where
you don't have to.
We'll always have Paris. And it seems like he is fucking her off. But I will stand by my reference anyway.
No.
Olivia, it's on BBC iPlayer.
I know, it's always on BBC iPlayer. Yeah.
And I still haven't seen it. It's an hour and a half, not a long film.
I don't have to, because I've seen something greater. So there we go.
This scene, it's better than Casablanca. I've seen Casablanca. Honestly, it makes like Citizen Kane. This episode makes Citizen Kane look like a pile of dog shit.
Exactly. Yes, and I agree, and I haven't seen that one either.
So. Yeah, Olivia's only allowed to comment on films she hasn't seen.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
It's like being on Twitter. You can only make comments on something you know nothing about.
It's far more entertaining.
Everyone has a lot more fun when they're completely uninformed, trust me.
I'll be honest. At this point in the episode, I've lost track of what the hell's happening. The next time I look at my screen, there's a stock footage of an explosion happening, and I don't know why, and I still don't remember what happened.
It's B-roll footage of a nuclear bomb, because the only way they can get back to DS9 is by flying straight into a nuclear detonation.
So they just exploded themselves? Like, what the hell happened?
No, they got back to DS9.
Yeah, but what was the explosion? They went into the explosion?
They flew into a nuclear bomb test.
Yeah. Which means they got from Arizona to Nevada within 7 minutes, which means that little shuttle is going sometimes.
That's not even the worst bit. The Nevada test site was opened 4 years after this. The US doesn't start testing bombs or doesn't open a test site on domestic soil to 1951. From 45 till 51, they're doing all their tests in the Bikini Atoll.
What, whoa?
How did they fly around a circle?
I mean, I'm not cancelling the episode, but I am tired.
So, they get back home, all sort of as well, Quark's going to prison, everybody's happy.
Everybody's happy. I love the scene of them, like, getting back, where, like, everyone's bickering. That's, you know what? Yeah, this is the best episode of Star Trek, because it has, like, it's so good when Odo is like, Vom, tell your brother everything's gonna be okay, and then he's like, Quark, everything's gonna be okay. Classic comedy here.
It is hilarious.
It is up there with The Magnificent Ferengi, which is still The Magnificent Ferengi is still the best Ferengi episode.
Wait, which one is
The Magnificent Ferengi?
Whatever.
That's the one with Kevan, and they have to but Weekend at Bernie's. Yes. They Weekend at Bernie's of Water.
Okay, the thing is, I have a crush on Kevan, and I don't know if I've admitted that before. I don't know if I've admitted that before, but I just need to come to terms with that.
You would have to board a board me to get that information out.
I just think that I'm tweeting it. He has a cute... I just think he has a cute face, okay? He has pretty eyes and a cute face.
I know.
I'm sorry for what I've done.
I know that
I'm being cancelled live on the podcast once again. This isn't even the first time.
By someone who just called Rom a DILF, you're getting cancelled for that.
You can't just say Kevan is hot. He's not. He's not.
To Google him to make sure that I'm fully remembering.
It's already a blur and I'm already...
I'm looking... Okay, yeah, no. Look. No, this was a... That's a mistake, Olivia.
That's what I'm saying. You've got beady eyes.
I will not be taking questions at this time.
He's got a weird mouth.
He looks like if John DeLancey and Billy Joel had a child.
Oh my God. You can't have a crush on Keith.
I just need to...
Someone has to bring the Magnificent Ferengi on the podcast now. Just so we can bully Olivia about this for a whole hour.
I just need to look at him because I haven't seen him in a while. There's definitely one gif where he's like looking up and I'm like, oh, little baby fascist.
You spent all this time being like, oh, why would Kira like Oda? Well, like Oda, and here you are calling a Nazi cute.
Look, everybody loves a bad boy.
This is exactly that one Gogglebox thing where it's like, everybody loves a bad boy. I don't even remember what the original is.
Not a sex offender. No, not a terrorist.
Not a terrorist, though.
Yeah.
I simply refuse to comment on what may or may not have been said. We have no footage of me saying this.
Apart from the recording.
Yeah, of this podcast, which will presumably air
at some point in the next 2 days.
Unless you pay for Patreon, you'll never see me say that. So,
wow, that is... You know, I'm glad that we're all being emotionally honest on the podcast today, but I think we should all just lock that back inside.
This is what Tumblr is a disease. Olivia has shown us a picture of Kevan with a pride flag behind him.
This is amazing content.
Furthermore, Tumblr is to be destroyed.
I think I just became homophobic.
Me too, Rebecca. It's worth it just to prevent this from happening for the greater good.
Oh my gosh. Wait, does he die? He dies, doesn't he? Yeah, I'm just
in a death scene.
I forgot.
Then he gets weakened at Bernie's.
We just said that. I'm sorry. Anyway, okay, next. Please move on from the very valid comments.
So the episode was obviously an homage to 50s B movies, you know, it's a car jumping general, traitorous military officer, noble scientist. They had an argument with the studio about how much they were smoking. Because the studio were like, they're smoking too much. And R.S. Stephen Burr was like, actually, by 1950s standards, this isn't a lot of cigarette smoking.
What I also love, I believe that Ira also wanted Quark to get addicted to cigarettes and then have to quit, right?
Yeah. Which would have been better. I think that would have been better. That would have been the best.
Quark with like a nicotine patch at the end of the episode.
Shaking slightly.
Wow. Great messages being put out today.
And he thought that the cigarette stuff was too on the nose.
Yeah, and he was happy. It already was.
Yeah. So then he thought that a criticism of it was too on the nose. But he was fine with the nuke stuff because the nuke stuff is deranged. Apparently it's because he got really angry with True Lies with Arnold Schwarzenegger in it because Arnold Schwarzenegger and the female protagonist kiss with a backdrop of a nuclear bomb and I asked Stephen Bird just thought that was fucking dumb, which it's an Arnold Schwarzenegger film. They're not meant to be clever. They just suck. Olivia, what's that look?
I'm not even saying it.
Wait, is this the before or after?
I just searched Kevin's name on Twitter, okay? Just it's fine.
As immediately pulling up Twitter.
What fine. Am I looking at?
Nothing. You're not going to find it because I didn't give you all the information.
I can't.
You're not going to find
it. Oh, I found it. I found Shit. It. Is it perhaps an account called Kevin Lovebot?
No, you're okay, not going to find it. You're not going to know.
Okay, what is it? What am I looking at?
Let's talk about something else.
No, Olivia, you're going to tell us.
Star Trek is like the greatest show ever. Like, no, Olivia. It's never had any problems. And it actually kind of solved racism, if you think about it.
We're not going anywhere until you tell me what you found.
I searched my app and I searched Kevin, okay? Okay, and I found something.
Okay, I'll stand by. Because I'm going to read it out.
This is like the last episode I ever record. I'm actually done. Like, I don't remember saying this.
I can't find anything. I've just got...
Good!
Oh, he's your problematic ex.
Huh?
He's your problematic ex.
I can't hear anything.
Your problematic ex, Olivia.
I can't hear anything because I don't know what you're talking about. And
according to Patrick, you confirmed that he's pan ex.
Oh, really? I don't know. Yeah. I can't really hear it right now.
It's on record, so you know. I'm just going to put the screenshots up on the podcast account, you know, when
I will destroy Twitter.
I've already taken screenshots, so we're good.
More than Elon Musk would. I can't believe this devastation. Like, it started so well for me. I was just here for art.
You entered too strongly, Olivia. You didn't lull me into fool's insecurity before being terrible. You came on strong. I had my guard up, and now you're suffering.
Yeah. And then you anyway. Got me on your bandwagon, and then you said, actually, on this bandwagon, we think Kevin is a fine piece of ass. And I said, actually, I need to get off of this. I need to get off of this.
I'm sorry for what has occurred here today. And I'd like to put out a public apology right now.
No, I'm going to mute you.
How did the YouTubers do their apologies? I want to do that.
This is a video I never thought I'd have to make.
Pour some water on your face so you're crying. Very sorry you went and saw where all those people killed themselves.
Wait, I'm gonna blur my background and then you can take a screenshot of me doing my YouTube apology. Just wait. How do I do that?
Well, I need to do it so it's just one. Background.
We'll just say to the listeners, you probably have an edited version of me apologizing live to the listeners for egregious comments made when I was a different person. And like, that just isn't me. That isn't my heart. That isn't my soul. And I just want you to know that like, I've never done anything like this before. And I've really moved on as a person. I've really learned from what you've been saying. And I've actually been reading books about how to not find Kevin cute.
How to not find fascists cute.
And I've really been reaching out to the communities that have been affected by my comments.
Communities such as me.
All the communities, I think,
homosexual people.
All communities matter, and that's who I've been reaching out to. So I would like everyone to just, you know, I'd just like to say, like, everyone makes mistakes. We should also remember that. Everyone makes mistakes. So, like, why are you mad at me? And that was basically how YouTubers do it. Thank you.
That was incredible. That needs a streamy right now.
Let's not go too.
That will be an unabridged. Hopefully that was released to you unabridged, because that was from my soul.
You have a soul.
Why am I being bullied? Just what I said. What
I thought you sold it to pay those kids to ask the Murph questions.
Oh yeah. That was a valid reason to be selling my soul.
Yeah. Anyway, so General Denning, played by Charles Napier, you know, the hippie from The Way to Eden, good times from everyone, as we said. This is one of Armin Shimmer's favorite episodes, because he liked the family vibes from it.
He's a man with strong family values.
Yeah, it was. It's one of the. He said it was. It's one of the first episodes where this is the Ferengi working together with a family, and it was the beginning of an avalanche of stories about that. It was a delight to work because the writers gave me a wonderful stuff to work with. Lots of Spock-like comments where I'm outside of humanity as a Ferengi and talking about how they act.
Like, okay. I mean, I know I'm like the number one fan, but sure.
This is the only reference to the political allegiance of any democratically elected leader in Star Trek, when the general calls Truman a piano-playing Democrat. The only time anyone mentions political parties in Star Trek. Ever.
Was that worth it? That was worth it.
They didn't even get let Stacey Abrams look into the camera and say vote Democrat this November. She wanted to, but they didn't let her.
No, but they let piano playing Democrat. Wow, wow, Star Trek. Democrat,
Harry, don't nuke China. S. Truman, the little shit.
God, I just, when you said that he was running against somebody named Dewey, I can't believe we almost had a president named Dewey.
Like, you almost there was almost President Wendell Willkie. That's worse.
Oh, wow.
Wendell Willkie ran against FDR.
I'm mortified that you know more about the American political climate than me.
I don't go out very often.
I just don't really learn history because I feel like there's no point in learning things that have already happened. So that's my position.
Fair enough. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, as an archaeologist, if it's not in the ground, I don't really care.
If it's not in the ground, it doesn't count.
Doesn't
like,
count.
If it's in the ground, though, but like, if it's in the ground, why are you picking it up? Because someone threw it away. So, like,
you know what? I'm going to have to bring that one up with the Archaeological Society of America, because that's a really good point, Olivia.
If things are in the ground, why are you taking them out of the ground? Put them back.
Put them back.
Put the dinosaurs back.
Put them back.
You see, when a dinosaur actually looks like that, when a dinosaur's like bones are like that, they're actually very distressed. You've got to put them back in their natural habitat.
Yes.
And we like, it's we like already the know what dinosaurs look like. We've seen Ducat, we know what Diplodocus looks like.
I've seen Ducat, seen a chicken, I've seen Rupert Murdoch. I know what dinosaurs look like. that's the only trivia. There's a long argument in Memory Alpha about Quark, the line where Quark says that the Ferengi will have warp drive before the humans, Klingons and Vulcans, about how that squares with what we know from other canon. And it takes them like three paragraphs to get to the obvious conclusion, which is that Quark is dumb and doesn't know his history. But the obvious conclusion is that Quark is like, this is one of the weird things about Star Trek canon. People argue over things like the line in Turnabout Intruder when Janice Lester says there's no female Starship captains, and they forget that people just fucking lie.
Yeah.
And like a lot of Starship canon is much easier when you just assume people lie or don't know what they're talking about.
Okay, but here's the thing. Vulcans would never lie, Spock would never lie.
There are literally about 20 books that include the line, a Vulcan never lies, Spock lied.
Yeah, but that's like, what is truth? What is your perception of truth? I stand with Spock in the truth, and Spock's truth is my truth.
Spock's
so.
Truth is that he's allowed to lie when he wants to lie.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't
Spock
know why.
Spock says that's a lie, it becomes truth anyway. So.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know why Trekkies are so, like, they hate admitting that sometimes characters are just dumb. And like most of the characters are just kind of dumb, and that's okay. You know, that makes them relatable to us. I didn't know who ran against FDR. Like sometimes we're dumb.
Sometimes you don't know who won the movie, and that's okay.
That's okay.
Why did Spock say there was only one planet in the Klingon disputed area? I don't know. He hadn't read the paper properly. He's not infallible.
Yeah. He also said he was an only child, so like we can't really trust what my man says.
Yeah, I feel like Spock doesn't actually know how many siblings he has. Sarek just didn't tell him.
Sarek was up to a lot, you know.
How many secret other families does Sarek have? Two, three? There's a lot of planets in the Federation. There's a lot of planets to hide a family on.
He's neglecting at least four sons for sure.
Four sons, yeah. Two daughters, and at least three pets.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
Odo was a dog.
Oh my god, Sewig is the father of dog Odo. We put it all together. Not Odo generally, just when he's a dog.
Yeah, Odo was going through some stuff at some point, and now he's like in too deep. He can't just leave.
He went method.
He's gotta go home the long way around. So, are we quitting? I feel like we went from a no to a yes over the course of this podcast. I feel like we went from a yes quitting to a no, we're not quitting over the course of this episode.
Yeah, like I feel like I began, this has been a roller coaster of emotion. I feel like I began as a firm, I'm quitting Star Trek. But you know, now that I think about it, now that Olivia made the solid points of this being better than Casablanca, I think that's like a really strong point. And you know what? I'm staying. I'm not quitting Star Trek over this yet.
Wait, I just realized what terrible thing I've done. I've prevented someone from leaving the fandom, even for a momentary respite. And I've betrayed all my principles. Everything I've done today has been to my demise. I've betrayed my principles with Kevan. My principles here. I am broken. This is it for me.
We'll be taking formal requests for a new co-host in the next couple of days. If you're interested, please send me your name, your email address, and
whether or not you'd
fuck Chris Pine. I'd like 300-word replies. Alternatively, you can tell me whether or not you think starships are cool.
Let's ask them about Kevan. Ask them to look into Kevan's eyes for 30 seconds. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm done.
God.
So we're end not the quitting. While we're on the subject of cursed things like Kevan, Olivia, please explain to the listeners the Tripnip scale in case this is their first time.
The Tripnip scale pales in comparison to what went down here today, but it's basically about, it's based on the Enterprise episode Unexpected. So Trip gets some unexpected nipples on his wrist when he becomes pregnant. If you think an episode is worth 10 trip nips, it's cursed, it's terrible, you hate what you saw. If you give it 0 to 1, you know, it's just a little bit odd, but you'll live.
It's standard issue Star Trek. You have the regular amount of nipples or the regular number of bodies.
Right. Ideally, you want 0 extra nips, but you know.
Yeah, we had to clarify this because we've had people come on and go, oh, is 2 nipples like the standard amount? It's like, no, this is additional nipples.
Right. End up with 4.
So, I'm going to give it 5. Only 2 are for the episode. The other 3 are simply for the contents of this discussion. I think simply, Odo killing a dog. Odo killing a dog discourse. And then 2 for Kevan. No, 1 for Kevan. There was something else cursed, and I can't remember it now.
You've been saying it every 5 seconds. And
oh, yeah, the Umog. No, that's part of the episode one. This is what we... There was something Rebecca said that like broke me. I can't remember.
Mom is a Dilf?
Yes. That is.
Okay. Right. So you hate truth is what we found out.
Yes, that's correct.
So much has happened here today. I don't want to quit, you know. I want to stay here, even though it may have ruined my reputation for all time. I just think that I have to stick with this. And
the nipples, Olivia. Answer the question.
Oh, yeah, the nipples. I can still give it nipples affectionately. 4.
Affectionate number of nipple reads.
Yeah.
And Rebecca.
God, I'm gonna have to go with 3 nips. Solely because every time I close my eyes at night, I see French noblemen, René Auberginois, rest in peace, turn into a dog on all fours. And that's really affected me as a person. So I'm gonna go with three.
You know, it's okay. If you really want, you can commit yourself by buying his face, which you can do from the René Auberginois Foundation. You can buy Odo's face.
I think that would look lovely in my home.
You can wear out parties, wear out. Official occasions,
walk
dates.
Yeah. I'm sure OSHA won't have anything to say about me wearing that on a job site.
It would look very good at court appearances as well, very formal. Definitely would look like you cut someone's face and stuck it to yours. So yeah, that's an average Tripnet score of 4, which is pretty low for recently.
You're welcome.
Tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah, it's not as low as the Changeling, sadly. Hmm. Which was just dumb as opposed to cursed, but we'll live with it.
Is that the one where he raises a Changeling?
No, that's the one where Kirk... There's a probe that thinks Kirk, there's a space probe that thinks Kirk's his dad.
Right.
It's like the beta. It's like starting the motion picture, but not the script isn't finished yet.
Right. That has the Jim touching Spock's boob.
Isn't that like every episode?
That's every episode. You have to be more specific.
They're very large and they get in the way. It's not his fault.
Not Spock's fault or Jim's.
I'm sorry, Spock. They just always be like this. Try very hard, but one can do.
I just remember a very specific boob grab in that episode, so that's like why I.
There is one where he's just like properly like.
Yes.
Yeah.
That one.
Olivia, you okay?
I'm fine.
This is so important.
I'm just scrolling. I'm just scrolling.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Got anything to plug, Rebecca? The listeners are wrapped after an hour of this, I hope. We have good listener retention rates, actually, these days.
Yeah, I always listen all the way through. I mean, I have to get to the Tripnip score, or else what's the point? Sunk cost fallacy.
Yeah.
How we're still in business.
I mean, I'm on all social media as Pencil Scratchings with an S, except for Twitter, which is no S because I ran out of characters. And I will be launching Patreon at the beginning of next month. So keep an eye out for that if you want to see some more. Maybe I'll draw some Tripnips for Patreon in your honor.
Wow.
I don't know how to feel about that. I mean, I do love your art. I still think the best one is Janice Rand's throwing the data slate at Kirk. That's still the best one.
I still love that one. Yeah, that one's one of my magnum opuses.
It's good shit.
Thank you.
Yeah, go follow Rebecca if you want to find us at Quit Starship Pod on Twitter. I don't know, start a fund to send us to Mission Seattle. That'd be fun.
I need to be there.
I think it's time that we came and showed you Americans how to quit properly in person.
Yeah, I'll be done with education and I have time I'll be to in, track.
I'll be in my gap between education. I'm gonna have to
you and me both.
I'm gonna have to join the real world for like a year.
The real world doesn't exist if you keep watching Star Trek.
So. Yeah.
Except yeah, but then you have to deal with like Geno vision.
Yeah. It's tough.
But yeah, buy our shirts. Thank you to everyone who wore our merch to Mission Chicago. That was very fun to see photos of that.
Incredible outfits.
Incredible. Well done to everyone who went. They're at Tee Public. Buy the shirts. The money goes to charity. I don't know. Send us emails. I haven't read this month's emails yet. Have you read this month's emails, Olivia?
I'm actually a Luddite now. So after the NFT thing, I was traumatized and I actually don't use.
Okay, I'll send you the emails by Penny Post. I'll yes. print them off. Please. I'll put them in the post and I'll send them to you.
Yeah.
Replies will also be sent by hand. So steamer mail and telegram.
Thank you. That's what I prefer.
But yeah, thank you for coming on, Rebecca. This has been terrifying and hilarious, as always.
It's been a joy. Thank you for having me. And by a joy, I mean I will have to bring this up with like some mental health professional.
Oh, it's okay. This podcast comes up with my therapist all the time. But until next time, don't call Rum a DILF.
Yes.
DILF Mom Nation, rise. Rise.
Notice nothing was said about calling Cuban cute. End episode.
Bye, everyone.